Hey, I'm Susan. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from North Carolina, and I'm a little bit nervous, but oh, that's okay. Thank you for having me here today. I have been in OA since 2014, and I have just over 6 months of abstinence. So, as you can tell, the numbers don't add up. I'm a relapse survivor. I'm also a 100-pounder. I started out at 270 pounds, and I've lost just a smidge over 100 pounds. And very happy to be here today. I don't remember life before being obsessed with food. I'm told that my first binge, I was 4. My mom found me on the front porch having just polished off an entire bag of Oreo cookies. And oh, I'm sorry, I forgot. I'll try not to do that again. She went into full food police mode, and from there on, there were no sweets or anything in my home that would be in any way, shape, or form tempting. So I don't have any of the stories of coming home from school and gorging on what's in the pantry or getting up in the night, and because there was nothing to eat there except for raw ingredients to be cooked. And nothing with sweets in it. And I spent my whole childhood scheming to figure out, how I could get stuff when I was at somebody else's house or some occasion, or like birthday parties or what are now called play dates. We every year, every summer, went to a family reunion that my mom's side of the family were very much the Southern cooks, and the tables groaned with foods. And it was the one time I wasn't watched because she was too busy catching up with all her many cousins, and I would go crazy. And I got sick every time. And I remember once my brother said, "Well, if it makes you sick, why don't you just not eat it?" And he may as well have said, "Why don't you just grow a second head?" It just did not compute. There was no way to not eat it. It was there. And I was put on my first diet at 10, and I spent my adolescence and young adulthood on the diet treadmill, going up and down and up and down. I was never an obese child, but I was always a little on the chunky side. And back then, nobody was. So I heard about it all the time. I didn't start binging till my mid-20s. A guy who we were talking about getting married, and he suddenly broke up with me. And I will never forget coming home from work and stopping off to pick up some things that I wanted to eat and drink because, I didn't have to work, watch my figure, and it gave me ease and comfort that night. And at first, I was a periodic, I would every so often do it, but it's incredible the way this disease progresses. It was I in no time at all. Before it was every night, and I was gaining weight like crazy, and I was stuck in that cycle of addiction. Like Dr. Silkworth describes in the doctor's opinion, I was looking for ease and comfort and numbness and to escape my feelings, and I found it with the food, but I could not put it down despite wanting to. In my late 20s, I moved to Germany. My geographic, I changed continents. And you know what? I took myself with me. It helped that I was living with other people instead of alone, and so that curbed me somewhat. But whenever I had the chance, I just, I binged, and it just kept on and on. Mid-30s, I decided to change careers and get a master's in nutrition because I was going to fix myself, and so I did, and it didn't work. I learned all that stuff, but self-knowledge is not the answer. Not if we're a true compulsive overeater, a type 3 addict. And so I went out to therapy, and that's how I found OA, as my therapist suggested, OA. And that was around 2000-ish. I went for about a year, year and a half or so, but I was really delusional. I thought just attending would be enough, and we don't get it by osmosis. We get it by working the program, and we get it by working the steps. And I at that point, I defined my abstinence as sticking to my Weight Watcher points. So you can imagine how delusional that was. I have done Weight Watchers 5 times, Jenny Craig twice. I've done tops. I've counted carbs. I've counted exchanges. I've counted fat grams. You name it, I've done it. And
Excuse me, Susan, that's 5 minutes.
thanks, honey. And guess what? It did not work. So I, after about a year, year and a half in program, I left and spent another 10 or 12 years experimenting. And my back then we still had a local newspaper, and in the calendar every week would be the OA meetings, and every week I'd read that and I'd feel so guilty. And boy, there's nothing like coming to OA to ruin a binge. And I kept telling myself, I need to go back, I need to go back. Finally, in 2014, February 6th, I went back. It was a New Year's Eve resolution. You can so it and it took me 5 weeks to get there, but I finally went. And that was pre-pandemic days. So for the next 7 years, I went to a small local meeting that was, it was the traditional OA approach. It was better than nothing. I was in and out of relapse constantly. I was constantly picking up. The big book was not used. I never heard anything about the allergy of the body or the obsession of the mind. It was all, diet with group support, abstinence only type approach. And but like I said, it was, I knew that if I left the rooms entirely, I figured I'd end up weighing 600 pounds and have to be buried in a piano case one day. So I stayed. And then the pandemic hit. And a woman I knew from the local meeting told me about the Zoom meetings. And so I went to one and I saw. It was actually the LA Intergroup birthday party, and I saw real recovery. It's like, oh my God, that's what it's supposed to be. And I tried to get the people in my local meeting to go, but they didn't want to change. They didn't want to do that. So I left that meeting, and I've been on Zoom ever since. And I have been through the steps through the big book 3 times. The first 2 times were with sponsors who were kind of on the loosey-goosey side, and that was my choice. I didn't want to be told what to do, and both times, eventually the sponsors quit sponsoring or left program entirely, and I didn't get somebody new, and it was just a matter of time before I was back in the food. Last fall was the last time. I picked up on Thanksgiving, and not the day, but 3 days later, with a dessert item that had been sitting on the counter for 3 days, but I'm the only one in my family who is not a normie, and I was in prelapse at that point, and I caved. And I had a short relapse. It was only about 3 weeks, and I had just bought a whole new wardrobe because, after losing 100 pounds, nothing fit. And Black Friday sale, I took advantage of it, and so here I've got all these new clothes. And that didn't stop me from picking up that dessert. And after 3 weeks of being face down in the food, I saw on the WhatsApp group that Cindy mentioned, it's OA Big Book Sponsorship Group. I saw somebody posted that she had relapse experience, and she did the steps in a little over a month. And it spoke to me because I knew that if I did it slowly, I'd be back in the food. So it took me a little back and forth, hemming and hawing, and I practiced centering prayer every day. And I sat down one day and I was like, maybe I'll text her after I have my centering prayer practice. And I got this nudge saying, text her now. And I did. And I'm so grateful. She took me through the steps in 5 weeks, going from the title page through working with others. And it was intense, and it was fast, and it was deep, and it changed my life. And it was exactly what I had always said I didn't want to do. When I came in 2014 and a couple of the local meetings went vision, I absolutely said, there are a bunch of food Nazis. I'm not doing that. They're wrapped too tight. Contempt prior to investigation could have been my middle name. And so I had to, finally be out of ideas, finally out of how to do it Susan's way. On page 39, I think it's 39, no, it's 30, and the very first page of More About Alcoholism, Bill Wilson wrote, "The delusion that we are like other people or presently maybe has to be smashed." And that's
Excuse
what it.
me, Susan, that's 10 minutes.
Thank you. And that's what it had to be for me. It had to be smashed because I had the lurking notion that I could, if things got too bad, I could always eat my alcoholic foods and then start again the next day. And that is delusional because that is reintroducing the allergy of the body over and over again. And it's the obsession of the mind telling me I can do that. I looked up, I did or my sponsor, I've forgotten who now, the difference between delusion and denial. Denial is saying something isn't so when deep down inside you really know it is. But delusion is holding a false belief contrary to all objective evidence, truly believing that. And when we're in our disease, we are delusional. It's how the disease takes us over. And some of the delusions that I had is I refused to commit food the night before. I refused to saying, I don't need to text if there's a change. If I'm just going to change an apple for an orange, one piece of fruit for another piece of fruit, it's just fruit or, something like that. But what my sponsor explained to me is that is the behavior, the alcoholic behavior of impulsivity and control. And nobody had ever explained that to me before. And that made such a difference. It's like, okay, I'm willing to try. We have to be desperate to do program. Harlan G says the fear of the food has to outweigh the fear of letting go of the food for recovery to happen, because otherwise we won't do the work. And, Bill says over and over again in the big book, I had to be out of ideas. I had to give up trying to do it my way. One of the other things I had always said is, I don't need to do a written nightly review because I do bedtime prayers. It's between me and God. Well, my sponsor does a nightly review, and it is the most helpful thing I've ever had. It is amazing what I catch on that thing. I'm doing outreach like crazy. My goal when I started was one call a day. I easily do three. I've had days when I've done four, five, and six. And the Recovery Jam WhatsApp group is a big help with that. But, when we're first getting abstinent, it's a matter of letting go of how we want to do things and actually doing what our sponsors who have recovered say worked for her. But once getting to 10, 11, and 12, I see a lot of people slip here. In fact, I've lost a sponsee who got all the way through the steps and was recovered. And she quit doing the daily disciplines. And it's a slow erosion. It's, that's what it was for me when I relapsed. That's why I said it was prelapse. It was very slowly, first it was the sponsors, not sponsoring anymore, and I didn't get another sponsor. I had hip replacement last summer, and I thought, well, I don't need a new sponsee because I don't know what I'm going to be going through, which was delusional thinking. And then I never had been doing the nightly reviews. I was not doing a proper 10th step. The 10th step has four parts. I was saying, well, I'm praying to God, and that's good enough. A real 10th step is a lifesaver. And so, in order for me to stay in 10, 11, and 12 and to continue to grow, I have to be doing those daily disciplines. When something blocks me, when I'm disturbed, do that 10th step. The 11th step, all through the day, the evening, my conscious contact with God. 12th step, I have to carry the message. That is what we do. And I could not believe when I was reading the big book to my sponsor, something else I fought reading it out loud. I can't believe how many times I saw in there how it says we have to work with others, we have to sponsor, we have to carry the message, or we will return to the addiction and die. And the delusional me, I had completely not even noticed that. So, what I'd like to ask people is to be thinking about, where is the delusion creeping up in my life? Because that's what the disease does. It wants us separate from others. The ego wants to be special, wants to be different, wants to separate us from the herd, and that's when it gets us. And how is the disease separating us from recovery? And with that, I think I might about, well, pass. Thanks, y'all.